you have a Bible, would you open it to Matthew chapter 25? A few words from the scripture this morning before we distribute these communion elements. Matthew chapter 25. Father, we thank you for this time. Right now, we want to give you attention, our full attention. This is your word, your truth. So bless this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I think it really is important to set goals for ourselves as we go into the new year to challenge ourselves. You know, we sort of kid and make fun of all the resolutions, right? Because how long do they last? Maybe 2 weeks. But I think we should make resolutions. I think we should take a good long look at our lives, and as we go into this new year, challenge ourselves, make plans, make goals physically. Maybe that diet needs to happen. Maybe the exercise. Challenge yourself intellectually. What are you going to read? What are you going to learn this year? Challenge yourself academically. Students in school, make it your aim to be a straight-A student this year. Challenge yourself spiritually. Grow. It's important. Take that time prayerfully, thoughtfully. Well, we have a wonderful parable before us. You could see this parable in Matthew chapter 25 as a direct challenge from Jesus to us as we go in to the new year. Look at Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14. Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability." And immediately he went on a journey. So we have a very wealthy man in this parable, and he's about to go on a journey. He calls 3 of his servants to himself before he leaves. He gives to one servant 5 talents. Another servant, he gives 2 talents. And then the third servant, he gives 1 talent. Now, a talent was a unit of weight in those days, about 60 to 80 pounds. And it's most likely that this was a talent of silver. So imagine 80 pounds of silver. Some historians tell us that 1 talent of silver in those days was worth to 20 years worth of wages. So think of it this way. 1 servant is given 100 years worth of wages. Another servant is given 40 years worth of wages. And this other servant's given 20 years worth of wages. That's significant, isn't it? And the clear expectation is that when the master is away on this journey, they're to take those talents and work them. Use them. Invest them. Be profitable with them. And the master can come back at any time. And when he does, they're going to have to give an account to their master as how they used his talents. Now, I want you to notice something very important. This is an important detail in verse 15. He says, "And he gave to each according to his own ability." Understand that. The master knew those 3 servants very well. He knew their different levels of ability. And he gave to them perfectly, accordingly to their ability. The one with the greatest amount of ability was given 5 talents. Perfect for him. If he were given 1 talent, he'd be bored. Wouldn't be a challenge. The person who was given 2 talents had a medium ability. And the person who was given 1 talent had a minimal ability. If that person were given 5 talents, they'd be burdened and overwhelmed. So you need to see this in the story. The master gives to each one exactly what they can handle. Not too much, not too little. Perfect distribution of these talents. Okay. What's the spiritual significance of this parable? Well, who's the master in this parable? It's Jesus. He's been on a long journey for 2,000 years. And he's coming again, and he can come again at any time, and he's the rich, wealthy owner. Who are the servants in this parable? We are. All of us in this room are the servants. You're one of the servants in this parable. Jesus has given us talents. Some of us have been given 5 talents. Some of us have been given 2 talents. Some of us have been given 1 talent. Perfectly distributed according to our ability. So we're in this parable. You could put your name in that parable. What do these talents represent? What is it that Jesus, our master, has given us? And when he comes again for us, we'll be accountable to him for how we use them. What do these talents represent? Well, I think they can represent many things. And I actually think that the talents represent all of the details of our individual lives. Everything that Jesus has given you. Certainly, these talents can represent money, material resources. Jesus has given to every one of us money and material resources. Your money, your material resources, those things really aren't yours. They belong to God. Did you know that? He gave them to you on loan. Now, some people like to take an offense to that and say, wait a minute, I've worked hard for my money. I worked hard to buy that house, that car. That's the fruit of my labor. I went through education. I did all this experience. Well, that's true. You worked hard, but God gave you the brains. God gave you the energy. And I'll tell you, you even read the stories of some of the wealthiest people, their stories, and they'll say, yeah, it took a lot of hard work, but it also took the right connections. Or being at the right place at the right time. Who makes those things happen? So all of our money belongs to God. And the Bible is very clear. We are to invest our money in the kingdom of God. Our material resources in the kingdom of God. We are to support the churches that do the Lord's work. As Christians, we are to support missionaries, charities. All of those things need to be supported financially with our money, and we need to be willing to give that. The Bible's clear, and the Bible teaches that a really big chunk of our money should go in support of the Lord's work. In the Old Testament, it was 10%. The New Testament, that's at least a good starting place. Now, the question that is asked is, why does God need our money? Is it because, is God poor? Is God about to go under and we got to give him some money or he's going to go bankrupt? Absolutely not. God's rich. He doesn't need our money. God doesn't ask us to give financially to his work for his benefit. He does it for our benefit. Giving's for us. God is a benevolent giver and he wants his people to be likewise. And so he wants us to be good representatives of him, so he asks us to give in practical ways. God also wants to be first place on the throne of our hearts. Amen? He wants us to be fully surrendered to him. And the Lord knows that the single greatest obstacle to him becoming first place in many people's hearts is the pocketbook. And if God can become more important in your life than your bank account, That comes a long way, doesn't it? That's a huge step. So he asks us to give. He wants to be first place. God also asks us to give of our money because he knows that wherever we put our money, that's where our heart goes. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In other words, where you put your money, that's a good indication of where your heart is. Your heart follows what you fund. Think about it. If you have stocks, which stocks are you looking at on your phone? The ones that you don't have? Or the ones that you do have? The ones that you do have, because that's where your money is. Same thing. If you take your money and you are investing it in the kingdom of God, your interest is in the kingdom of God. So certainly these talents represent money, and we should be givers. And maybe that's a big challenge for us in the new year, that we will make a decision to consistently financially support the Lord's work. It will be a huge step in your spiritual growth. And by the way, you will be blown away with how God blesses your sacrificial giving. You know, you can't outgive God. The talents, however, in this parable don't just represent money, they also represent influence. Your spheres of influence. We all have spheres of influence. Some of us have big spheres of influence. Some of God's people are called to be governors, leaders, industry leaders, prominent athletes, well-known figures. That's a sphere of influence that God has given you. I think teachers that teach in a public school system, think of that influence. Think of that sphere. We all have spheres of influence. The people that you work with, your friends, the people in your school. Perhaps there's a season in your life where the sphere of influence you is those small children that you're raising in your home. Doesn't matter how big, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. The idea is God has given you your sphere of influence, and you need to invest that in the kingdom of God. And maybe this new year you say, you know, you've given me this job, you've given me this platform. I will influence people into the kingdom of God in the sphere of influence. Opportunities. Some of you have been given educational opportunities, bachelor's, master's, PhD. We've been given different opportunities in our careers, maybe different experiences in life. What about talents, like we think of the word talent? What about natural gifts, natural abilities, like music, like art, drawing? That's definitely a talent I didn't get. I mess up stick figures. But I'm amazed at how people can draw and they can paint, and the music, or athletics, or maybe it's engineering, or maybe it's technical, or maybe it's good with money. Whatever that might be, God has given that to you. Are you using that as a platform in expanding God's kingdom? Are you investing that? You know, I got to say, and not just because they're my favorite team, but I think one of the boldest witnesses on the face of the planet today is a quarterback for the Denver Broncos named Tim Tebow. I mean, that man is bold in his witness for Jesus Christ, and he's going up against a media that hates him. I pray for him. Here's a man that's been blessed with a whole lot, and he's given that all back to his master. All of it. Fully. Using it. The talents in this parable could also represent spiritual gifts. You know that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. And the Bible is very clear in the New Testament that if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit has given you at least one supernatural spiritual gift. To many of us, he's given more than just one. Teaching, encouragement, evangelism, servanthood, administration, supernatural like speaking in tongues, discernment, the working of miracles. There's a whole list. God's given you that. You're to invest that in the kingdom of God. Maybe that's the big challenge for this new year for you. Find out what your spiritual gift is. Study it in the Bible. And then go try it out and find out where you fit. So, all of these things that we've been given from our master, are we using them for his glory? Well, let's find out and see what happens with these servants. Look at verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Awesome. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more talents. So the guy with 5 gets 5 more. The guy with 2 gets 2 more. I want you to notice again, they were both given different portions, but they were both equally successful in proportion. The amount that they were originally given was different, but it didn't matter. They each doubled their money. They each earned how much percent? 100%. It's very clear that these guys were serious. They worked hard. They were diligent. They went for it. They respected their master. And they would be ready for their master. What about the other servant? Verse 18. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. So here's a servant. He's got 20 years worth of wages. He does nothing with it. The only work he does is to dig a hole and to bury it. He's lazy. Later on in the parable, the master will call him wicked. He doesn't take his master serious. Those 2 servants represent true born-again Christians who are going for it. That 1 servant represents the person who's been given so much from God, and yet they do nothing for God. They don't even acknowledge God. And whatever they have been given, they either bury or use for themselves, which is just another way to bury it. After the journey, the master comes back. Verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. Can you see how excited he is? Lord, you gave me all this stuff, and I used it for you. Here it is. I've doubled. Verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said very excitedly, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, I want you to notice, Jesus said the exact same commendation to both of those servants. Word for word. To the one who had been given 5 talents, he says, well done, you've been faithful with a few things. to the one who had two talents. Oh, you've been faithful with a few things. To the one who was given five talents, I will make you ruler over many things. To the one who was given two talents, I'll make you ruler over many things. It's very important. God rewards you based on how faithful you are with what he's given you, not what he's given to other people. And you have to be faithful with what he's given you. And both of these servants are rewarded the exact same way. Both get commendation from Jesus. Can you imagine one day standing before Jesus, looking him in the eye, and having him say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in." Both of those servants were given extra responsibility as a reward. You've done so well with what I gave you, the few things that I gave you in this life. I'm going to make you ruler over many things in the next life. By the way, in the next life, that's forever. Enter into the joy. So beautiful. You know, there are a lot of Christians who feel, and it's unfortunate, they feel like they can't, like they haven't been gifted. They don't have, you know, what they do, they can't really offer a whole lot to the Lord. And a lot of times we look at Christians and we think, you know, they're blessed with, they can do music, they can speak, they can do all this stuff. There are some Christians, they just look so talented, they're just dripping with talent, and you just kind of go, oh, sick. And we think, oh, I don't have talent like that. Can't do anything. We need to understand the ones that have been given, you know, that much talent, they're responsible in proportion to that. And even if you're the one who's been given one talent, if you're faithful with that one talent, you will be rewarded just like the one who was faithful with five talents. And listen carefully. Oftentimes, it's the Christians with one talent who think, oh, I have nothing to give. They're the ones in greatest danger of digging the hole and burying it. Now, what does it matter? Just little old me. It's not little old you. God has blessed you. God has given you many things. And you need to give those back. Very clearly, these two servants represent true born-again Christians. They know the Master, they love the Master, they've been saved, and they've surrendered their lives, and they're following their Master and investing. How about this other servant? Verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, check this out, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what it's yours. Here's your talent back. This guy comes with nothing but excuses. This guy comes with a complete misunderstanding of who the Master is and how good he is. This guy doesn't understand the Master at all. Well, look what the Master said. He didn't show any pity. Verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Now, he's not saying that he was a hard man. He's saying, if you thought in your mind that I was such a hard man, the least you could have done was put your talent in the bank. Verse 28, therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This wicked servant represents a person who is not truly born again. It's very clear that this person doesn't know who his master is. He doesn't care about his master. He hasn't taken any of the talent that he's been given and used it for his master's service. And so you see that when Christ comes again for this person, they don't make it into the kingdom of God, do they? Question for us as we go into this new year, and the challenge for us. Which of these servants in this parable are you? Are you the good servant? Or are you the lazy, wicked servant? It's interesting. I believe that all of us right now are in this parable, as I said, and we're all living between verses 18 and 19. The talents have been handed out. Our master is away. He's coming very soon. We're accountable. What kind of servant are we? Are you a good servant? A good servant is one who has first received Christ, has understood that they needed to be forgiven of their sins, and understood the whole meaning of communion, that Jesus came and died for our sins and rose again the third day. The good servant, first of all in life, gets right with Jesus. Gets saved. And then spends life surrendered, recognizing that all we have comes from him, and we just take all of that and we use it and give it all back to him. Whatever it may be. Whatever talent you've been given. The bad servant is the one who hasn't received Christ, doesn't understand the meaning of communion, certainly doesn't give anything to the Lord, doesn't even give any thought to the Lord. Which servant are you? Two challenges as we get ready to distribute these elements. Number one, if you are here this morning and you are born again, you have received Christ, I want to challenge you to surrender your life fully to Jesus. Every aspect of your life, as you hold this cup and this wafer, think of all that Christ did for you. And now surrender everything to him. Give him all those things he's given you. Is there anything you've been holding back? Give it to him. And then obviously, if there's anyone here who has not yet received Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to ask him to be your Savior. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the greatest servant you could ever have. Amen? He loves us more than anybody else. He loves us so much that he went to a cross at Calvary, allowed his body to be broken, and allowed his blood to be poured out so that you and I could be forgiven. Greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friend. You know what? Jesus loves you so much, he laid down his life for you. And if you receive him this morning as your Lord and Savior, he'll forgive you of all of your sins and bless you for the rest of your life, using you in wonderful ways, and bless you for all of eternity. He's the best master. He's the good shepherd. Is he yours? Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. I'd like to have the guys come forward to like our worship team to come up. I'm going to ask that you would hold these elements in your hands. We'll all take them together. And again, as you're holding these elements in your hand, first think of all that Christ did for you. Thank him for it. Praise him for it. And then surrender your life afresh to him. Tell the Lord, I want you to really be first place in every area of my life this year, at school, at work. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, you do so through a simple prayer. Christ died on the cross for your sins, my sins. He rose again the third day. He is alive, and I believe he's very present with us right now. And if you will ask him to be your Lord and Savior, if you put your faith and trust in him, he'll come in and he'll save you. He'll come into your life. Talk about a brand new start. Wow. So if you have not received Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. You say simply, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I receive you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to live my life in a way that's pleasing to you. Use my life. We worship you this morning, Lord. We bow before you. We commune with you. So if you have received Christ, then I'd like you to participate with us. Partake of these elements, hold them, we'll take them together. If you have not yet received Christ, then you need to let the plate pass. Because this is only for those who truly understand. Now, if you just prayed to receive Christ this morning for your first time, take. Maybe you need to do that personally as these plates are handed out. Parents, you have kids with you in the sanctuary today. They need to understand what they're doing. So I'm going to leave that up to you. But a child should only take communion if they can understand what it's all about. But if they can, hey, let's partake together. Let's sing. Let's worship.
A thousand times I have failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, God, in your grace everlasting, your light will shine when all else fails. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all things. Times I fear, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, caught in your grace everlasting, your light will shine when all else fails. Never ending, your glory goes beyond. myself in bringing you praise everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond your pain. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and grace become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Crown of my heart is to bring. Should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fails. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all things. You will above all, my purpose remains, the art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fails. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and grace become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fails. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all.
Is such a holy moment right now as we go into this new year and we're seated at the Lord's table. Let's not forget this moment this year. Let's not forget what the Lord spoke to us this moment this year. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your incredible love and your incredible courage. Your incredible sacrifice. So that we could be forgiven, so that we could be saved, so that we could have a life that's meaningful. We praise your name. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's all take together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And he could come again at any moment. How many of you are ready? I could go. I'm ready. Anybody else? He could take me. Let's all stand together. If you prayed to receive Christ this morning, I'd like you to come forward. After this service, we'll be available to speak with you more about the decision that you've made for Christ. If you need prayer for anything, we will have prayer counselors up here willing and able to pray with you and for you. Let's close with a song of praise.